Oh, dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your provisions and blessings. And we pray that you'd help us to concentrate on the word this morning and be filled with the Spirit so that we can absorb what we study and that it be a blessing to us. For we thank you and ask in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 89:14. You should know it by heart by now. But this is such an important verse, and you're probably going to be going back to this verse the rest of your life. It's that important. I doubt very seriously if most Christians in America have even read it. I don't think they know what the concept is. They don't know what grace is. And although they've been saved by grace, they don't know a single thing about it. I remember when I was in Bible college, I was sitting there and it just hit me. Grace. It's in the songbooks, and some people mention it in sermons or something and in the Bible, but nobody knew what grace was and nobody explained it, and I didn't know. So I asked the Father, and by the way, everything starts with prayer. Just remember that. You got to pray. And so I asked the Father to reveal to me this concept of grace. Within that week, I had 3 books written by Bob Thiem about grace. I mean, that's how quick it was. And I've never turned back. I've never looked away. I've just held on to it for all of these years. And I'm learning more and more about grace. Everybody who gets saved is saved by grace. Now, they may not know it or understand it, but they're all saved by grace. And they'll say that, they'll agree with that statement, but that's all they know. You're saved by grace, because I think there's a hymn that says that. But what does it mean? Well, when you believe on Christ, you've accepted God's grace offer. Whether you know it or not. Now, God deals with us, our mankind, on one of two ways. On the basis of justice or the basis of grace. Now, and hold your hand in Psalm 89, but Romans 12... Oh, excuse me, Romans 13. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. For the one, this is civil authorities, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. You see, that's like, and cops and the military, those are functions of justice. Justice is God giving back to everybody exactly as their actions deserve. And with the concept of justice, there's another one here that's Romans 12:21. No, that's not it. Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Or I like the King James Version better. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Now, there's so much stupidity going on in America, and they just do backflips. Vengeance is wrong, and we seek justice and not vengeance. Well, the word vengeance here in the Greek is ekdike, E-K-D-I-K, long E. And that breaks down into two words, ek, out of, dike, justice, out of justice. So vengeance comes out of justice. Vengeance is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's from God himself. But what's the caveat here? That's God's field, not ours. We're not to take vengeance on anybody. How do we handle this if we've been wronged? Take it to God. Supreme Court of Heaven, put it in his hands, let God deal with them when we go on our merry way without a thought in our mind. See how it works? And so if somebody's done you another wrong, sorry, just pray about it to God, let him deal with it, and you leave it with him. Now, in our text this morning, Psalm 89, verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Grace and truth precede thee. Now, what does that mean? Well, what does the throne thing speak of? Ruling, right? God's rule over his creation. And it's founded on righteousness and justice. What's right, and the system of justice where God rewards everybody according as their actions deserve. He rewards. He gives back to them what they have coming. That is the way it works, and that's with angels and men. And it's a good system. It's the way he runs things. And the standard of judgment is based upon his righteousness. And he gives back to each man according as their actions deserve. And that's only fair. It's only right, right? Except for what? What do our actions deserve? I don't think we want to be rewarded for what we've done in that view, because it's nothing but bad for us. And then it says, grace and truth precede thee. Or another translation of precede is goes before thee. Now, you have to get the mental picture of what's going on here. You have a righteous king, and he has his district or city that's under his rule. And they've been acting up in such a way that they're going against what he wants. And he sent warnings to them, trying to straighten them out and get on the right track. And what do? Well, they ignore it. They just keep doing what they were doing. So now he has to change his tactics, and he brings his army down to the border of the city. His army's posed to attack. The citizens of the city can look over there and think, uh-oh, we got trouble. Because this time, you know, he means business. How do I know he means business? Because he's brought his army down. And they're stationed outside the gates, ready to attack. But what he does is something different. He sends two runners out. And these runners have a message. If you do what the king says, submit to his authority, we will turn the army around and go back, maybe pay tribute or whatever. But if you don't, the army's going to come in and destroy the city. And that's what the two runners say. And the runners, they're the Malak, the messengers. And their issue of their standing with the king is not the issue. They could be relatives, could be a son, could be a general, could be a private. But they carry the king's message, therefore they're authorized. And you have to listen to them. So what's the name of the two runners? Is everybody right with the Lord this morning? I've spent up all night long with racing minds and thinking about all this stuff. So what were the two runners' name? Grace and truth. So if you want to have the king's judgment, see the idea of justice, if you want to have his justice averted, you have to listen to and accept grace and truth. And that's how we have Christianity. He says, because I don't care who you are or what you believe or think. If you're not a believer, you're not under the grace option. And you'll have to face the judgment of God. Every one of us will have to be judged. Ours is an evaluation. But if the unsaved out here are not in line with God's grace gifts, they have to face his judgment. It's inescapable. Inescapable. Heaven and earth will flee from him, and you'll be standing there alone giving an account of your life and decisions and thinking and feelings and everything to this one being that you can't run away from. That's judgment. That's frightening. Don't you think that's frightening? Now, how do you want him to deal with you? On the basis of his fiery judgment or on the basis of grace? Ask yourself that question. How do you want God to deal with you? On the basis of grace and mercy or a consuming fire that comes from his throne? Well, I hope you're not so stupid as to say, give me the burning fire. And you know where that ends up? The lake of fire. All of your friends and family that aren't saved, that's what they're facing. That's what they're all facing. Nice little old ladies, pretty little girls, young men. The fire of God's wrath, out of his judgment. But God has given you an option. A grace option. And when you choose that, you fall under the grace blessings of God. That's amazing. It means that God now personally cares for you and takes you under his wing. And he deals with you differently than on the basis of justice. On the basis of justice, if you work for a living for 10 bucks an hour, you work 40 hours, it's only right, fair, and just that you get paid how much at the end of the week? 400 bucks, right? $400. That's fair. It's not a grace thing, it's justice. But under the basis of grace, you sow what God reaps. You get what you don't deserve it. You don't earn it. You don't merit it. It's just a free gift. Under grace, God will choose your mate for you. Who's a better one at selecting a mate, you or the eternal God? He'll select your job for you, your ministry, where you live, what you do, everything. It's all from God. And the older you get, if you understand these things, the more you see it unfold all around you. Most, every Christian, if they are Christians, has been saved by the grace of God. But that doesn't mean they're grace believers themselves. You see, being a grace believer doesn't mean just that you've been saved by grace. We know that. That means you give grace out to others. You're to treat others How? How? What is this quietness this morning? It's just like, are you got? You treat others as God has treated you. You give grace to others. You exhibit kindness and patience and love towards them. You change your life to align with God's grace. And in their grace, there's two things, God's provisions and God's blessings. And what are provisions? It's what God provides in His grace for your physical needs, spiritual needs, health needs, financial needs, whatever it is that you need, God will provide it for you. I'm living testimony for that. I had no money and no insurance, but I'm being taken care of because of God's grace. God has given me a wonderful family and a wonderful church. I love my family. I want to be around them all the time, even when they're not acting properly. Still want to be around them. I was very much alone when I was a kid, and I'm not alone now. Why is that? God's grace. Now, grace and truth precede thee. They go before thee. But I want you to notice you have chesed wa'emeth. Chesed is grace, and wa is an. Emeth is the truth. These two are connected together. They're in union with one another. They're inseparable. You can't separate grace from truth or truth from grace. They come together as a package. So what does that mean? If you want the grace, you got to accept the truth. Which means if you want grace, you've got to accept Bible doctrine. Not emotions, not entertainment, not programs, but the teaching and the truth of God's Word. And that means you not only need to learn it, but what's the next step? Always. Apply. You've got to apply it. It's sooner or later, sometime down the road, you'll be tested on are you going to apply what the scriptures teach? And as you do, more grace comes to you. And you'll have grace upon grace upon grace. And it all comes as a result of you going for the truth of God's word. This church is a grace church. I've set it up that way. Not everybody that has been through these doors, though, is a grace believer. They're mean-spirited, they're arrogant. Who wants to go into all that? You know, you've seen him go through here. But grace and truth precede thee. You see, we stand for grace, not for justice. Justice is fine, not condemning justice, but it's for the wrongdoers out there. It's for those who have rejected God's grace. And they get back as their actions deserve. And this whole thing of vengeance is getting back at somebody who's done you wrong. You should never do that. Grace believers don't do that. We don't get back. We just let it go. Because what's the overriding principle? We're to treat others as who has treated us. As God has treated us. Has God been patient with you? Yes. I'm the worst offender of them all. God has been real. And I mention that all the time to him, to thank him for his patience, because I was the worst. Has God been kind to you? Does he oversee your affairs? It's learning to live your life and how God has treated you. And there's that passage in the scriptures where it talks about this guy that had a lot of money, not a lot, but money owed to him. And God said, well, he went to the master and the master forgave him his debt. But he wouldn't forgive the debt of somebody owed, and the difference meaning that he owed the master a lot of money. And the guy that owed him some money was pocket change. And pocket change is just a small amount that was owed to him by somebody else. So the master forgave him his debt, monstrous debt. But he wouldn't forgive the pocket change that this other guy owed him. So you know what the master said? I will turn him over to the tormentors and he will learn a lesson. So what's the moral of that story? The moral of the story is, as God has forgiven you your monstrous evil debts, we're to forgive the pocket change that the people owe us. Let it go. Slough it off. Who cares? You got to remind yourself that you've chosen the grace option. And that means you're saved by grace. You've been forgiven by grace. You have this mighty creator of the universe who has taken you under his wing to help you in your life. I want you to think about that and think about your future you have coming up in eternity. All of this stuff means nothing. And this world system that we are so much adored with, what is going to happen to it? See that bank next door? That's going to burn up. This church is going to burn up. All the trees are, the whole earth is going to burn up. Every bit, every molecule, every plant, every animal, all these cute little dogs, they're all going to be burned up in the end judgment. And God is going to start a new one, a new heavens and a new earth. And we will be a part of that. That's our future. So who cares what this person says or does, or that person? Just let it go. Because you've chosen the grace option. So that means you now are grace believers. So act like it. Talk like it. Treat others like it. Hello. What is wrong with everybody this morning? Is it the fog has infiltrated your brains? So you got foggy brain-itis? I hear they're going to go back to that this year round. All right, we'll stop here this morning. Father, thank you for your word. We just pray that we'd live up to what we study. For we thank you and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.